Well, good morning to you all. Andy called me last night. Oh, yeah, thank you, Gary.
Remind me. So, Brother Andy called me last night and asked if I could assist him. And so he asked if I would speak a few words, and then he would pick up the rest of the hour. So we're going to do a tag team on our service this morning. So we didn't really get together and decide what to talk about. So we'll see what happens and how well this works out. But I have faith that the Lord will take care of us in our efforts. So for those of you that were here on Wednesday, I spoke a little bit that evening about brotherhood, about being family. Yeah. And so I kind of want to continue on in that vein, in that line of thinking. And I wanted to talk, one of the tools that Satan uses to great effect against us, is division and how we can be divided very easily. We allow ourselves to be. And you can pick an issue. There are so many that you can find differing opinions on. And the names may change, maybe some of the reasonings may change, but there's always been reasons why we can't be united together. Not too long ago in the news, in the media, there was a story of these football players. And, despite what you would think, football, they call it a team. There were these two players that were not getting along, despite the fact that they served the same team. They served the same goals. They wanted to win games. They were even two members of the same offensive line. They served together on the same goal, same purpose, same line, same coach, same playbook. Everything was the same, but these two players couldn't get along. And it domineered the narrative in the news for a while, and nobody was talking about football. They were talking about this disagreement in the locker room that took place. And it took the focus off the purpose, And if we're not careful, we can fall into that same trap. Fall into the same dangers. And we lose focus on what our goal and our mission is. Our teammates, our players that are with us in this life, in this church, we serve the same God. We should have the same purpose, of salvation and spreading that word and that gospel. But if we're not careful, other things can enter in that will distract and will divide. And it's a tool, I said, Satan uses so very often because it works. It works great. It's easy to get, our sensitivities ignited, our opinions differ, and if we're not careful, we can be divided. It's so important that we find things to unify over as opposed to things that divide us. I'd like to open up with a scripture reading in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And division, of course, is nothing new. The scriptures speak often on it. But I want to focus on unity today. Focus on coming together. And in 1 Corinthians, and in the first chapter, starting in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Skipping down to verse 13, just a simple statement, simple question. Is Christ divided? I think we can all answer that Christ is not divided. We can all answer that the Godhead is one, and it is a unity. And that is the goal for us, is to be unified. To be one in purpose, and to be one in our goals. Another reading is in Ephesians. And the fourth chapter, and on Wednesday night, I read a portion of this chapter. I'm going to go a little farther, though. I'm going to read a little longer. Ephesians, starting in the first verse of chapter 4. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That he descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and all the and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so you can see that we are called to be unified. We are a body, and each body has a part. Each part has a different purpose, a different function. But if it's divided, it doesn't work. It doesn't carry over. It cannot continue on in its purpose and its mission, just like our own bodies. If something happens in my hand, you know, I'm going to feel it. If something happens in my foot, I'm going to feel it. If something happens inside me, I'm going to feel it. And it's going to affect every other part of my body. And God brought the church together. He brought it and fitly joined it together. He gave it its direction. He gave it its purpose. And it is our job to carry out that purpose. It brings the Lord joy that we have unity. We can find this over in Philippians, the second chapter. Read verses 1 and verses 2. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So his joy comes from our unity. He has joy when we are unified and when we share the goal. We share common interests. And so, how can we find unity? How can we find common ground? I think we first thing that we must do is we must humble ourselves. Because we cannot find unity if we're trying to vaunt ourselves or push our own agenda, whatever it may be, speak our own opinion. We first have to humble ourselves. The idea of humility is thinking lowly of oneself. We may have ideas, we have opinions, you know, but and we should have concerns and ideas and opinions. We can have those things. But when we try to override anyone else, if we try to overcome anyone else and their thoughts and their opinions, and we try to run roughshod over someone else, you know, that we lose something. We have to be careful in how we present our message. We can speak our opinion in love. We have to do it in love and in kindness and in long-suffering. It must be done. We must be humble. Some examples of this humility. If you turn over to the 10th chapter of Alma. Alma is speaking to his people on the very subject. I found a little snippet in the 10th chapter. And in starting in the 27th verse. And you can see the emotion that he has in here, the feeling that he has, that it's imperative that he get this message out. Beginning in verse 27 in the 10th chapter of Alma. Now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words, cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord, and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye be not tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. So we're called to be humble. We must be humble so we can unify on something such as humility and seeking the Lord. Thinking not of our own opinion or our own thoughts, but turning towards God. Again, in Mosiah, in the first chapter, start off in verse 118. Again, speaking on humility. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come, in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child to submit to his father. So again, that humility is described in such great detail. Meekness, lowliness of heart, long-suffering. These are the attitudes we must have towards one another. Anger is not mentioned. Pride is not mentioned. Getting our feelings hurt isn't mentioned. But all these other things are. So if we want to be unified, we must first be humble. So what else can we find that when we unify ourselves? Well, we have to look to Christ. He is the light. He is the life of the world. He is the one we should all be unified under. He is the one for which we bear our name as Christian, followers of Christ. He must unify us. I'm going to flip over to 3 Nephi when Christ came and talked on this land to these people that were here after his resurrection. The 5th chapter of 3 Nephi. A bit of a long reading. I feel it necessary to get my point across. 5th chapter, starting in verse 29. And there shall be no disputations among you, as there hath hitherto been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hath hitherto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine, to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. Whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of him, unto him of the Father and me. For the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, you must repent, and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, you must repent, and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So there we can unify. We must repent always. We must become as a little child. I spoke of divisions earlier on, but if we are God's children, as we are called to be, whatever the issue may be can be resolved. Whatever the issue can be, we can find the answer. And this is the path, becoming meek, becoming humble, and seeking God's answers. When we look on our church seal, so I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's probably printed in most of the front of your Book of Mormons. You know, it looks very simple seal, Church of Christ, Templeot, Independence, Missouri, organized April 6, 1830. Right across the top, right across, just under those words, is the light of the world. We are called to be the light of this world. We're called to unify and let everyone see our works. Again, Christ spoke and he gave us the path by which we can be unified. I got a piece of advice a long time ago, early on in my career. You know, when you're talking about divisions and things, you know, a lot of times there's something we can't change, but it's something that bothers us. So I had a supervisor, I had a similar situation. I was worried about something, concerned about something. I had no power to change it. So I had the supervisor sit me down, and he told me, he goes, you know, you got three areas in your life. You've got an area of control. Now, those are the things that you directly control. You've got an area of influence. Those are the things you can't control, but maybe you can alter slightly. And you've got an area of concern. And these three rings, they overlap each other. Your smallest area is your area of control, because at your heart, the only thing you can truly, truly control is you. You can't really control anyone else. You can't control anyone and their thoughts. You can't control anyone and what they do. The only thing you can control is you. You got our circle of influence, which extends a little bit bigger. Depending on your station life, it may be rather large. You may have a lot of people under your influence. If you are a supervisor at work, you may have quite a few people under you. If you're a boss at work, you know, as you rise the ladder, if that's what you've done, and you may have control of the whole company. But you can't control all the people that are in it. You can only influence them. You may find ways to coerce them into going in your way. But again, at the end of the day, you cannot control what those people do, what those people say. You can only influence them. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, you know, we don't have a way to coerce people into doing what we want them to do. And so, then going to the last area, of course, the area of concern, that's huge. I have a lot of concerns. I have a concern about the upcoming election. I have a concern about the price of gas. I have concerns about health of my wife. I have a lot of concerns, but I have no influence or control over any of those things. And so all those things I have to place under God's control because I can't control them. So the only thing I can control is myself. The only thing that we can control are ourselves. But if we control ourselves and we guide ourselves to do the actions which God has led us to do, which God has told us to do, we can have influence over others. We can influence those around us. We can influence strangers, brothers and sisters. We can influence. Some of the more detailed areas, God, when he came back onto this land again, he gave us the guideline. The fifth chapter again in the third book of Nephi, starting in verse 50. Very familiar set of scriptures. Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are all they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are all ye, when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For ye shall have great joy, and be exceeding glad. For great shall be your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, one jot nor one tittle hath not passed away from the law, but in me it hath been fulfilled. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. We have our marching orders. We have the direction given to us from God. We can't control all the issues. We can't control and make right things that are wrong. The only thing we can control is ourselves. And that's it. And through the control of ourselves and doing good works, we can influence others. We must pray for this unity. We have to. The Lord finds joy in our unity. The Lord wants us to be unified. He desires it. I don't find it of no small consequence that just before Christ was given over by the Pharisees, given over to be crucified, he was in the garden. In the 17th chapter of John, we find his prayer. The prayer he prayed before he was to be sacrificed and given all the sins of the world to bear. You find in his prayer here what his focus was, what his thoughts were. And they were about us, and his church, and his people. are about unity. Starting 17th chapter of John and the 9th verse. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from all evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, he's getting ready to be crucified, and he's praying that those members at the time were unified, that their unity passed down onto us, and that we may be unified. Those are the thoughts that I had this day. I'll leave you with one last thought. It's found in the Psalms. Short little psalm, 133rd. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even for life evermore. So please, I pray for unity. I pray that we will all humble ourselves and beseech the blessings of a holy God, that he may talk to us and give us what we need to be unified. I think I've taken up plenty of time. So, sorry, Brother Andy. I'm going to turn it over to him now.